Welcome to the Hoof and Fang Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves.
And I'm Asmetics.
So what is new in your life?
Oh, man. So I finally was able to actually get the illustrated book covers that I've been working on forever, like months and months. I finally got them ironed out. Like I've been for Relic, by the way, in case somebody hasn't heard me bitch about this yet. So I kept running into weird snags with these damn covers. Like the formatting was wrong, or the way they exported it was wrong, or blah, blah, blah. And the last little snag, I got every one of them approved, looks great, saw the proofs, fantastic. Then I noticed on Lost in Amber, it said Relic number 5 instead of 4. I was like, no, right? Like, damn it. After all of those proofs, I didn't catch it. And I caught it this round, the last one. So we had to go back and fix that. But then I guess us just swapping the 4 for, the 4 for the 5 threw off the spines. And we had to do like 3 more revisions after that before Ingram finally was like, hey, it's good. I'm like,
You did it.
But like I have now sworn Ingram Spark as like my mortal enemy, because I don't know, people in the like readers and stuff probably have no idea how convoluted it is. But when you upload a cover through Ingram, which is the only place you can put paperbacks to make them widely available outside of Amazon, so for like independent bookstores, Barnes & Noble, whatever, right? They are built for publishing houses, not for independent authors. So if you run into any snags, they don't help you. They just say it's wrong. And so even if you try to chat in being like, can you give me specifics as to what's wrong or blah, 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 they're like, just use a template and they don't help you. Whereas even though Amazon is evil and we hate them, they'll at least be like, hey, this needs to be fixed by this amount. Like they give you exactly what you need. Right. So that's helpful. Ingram doesn't do that. So it was kind of a guessing game of us just throwing darts blindly to hopefully hit the board on like what exactly was wrong with this damn thing.
Yeah.
But we finally figured it out. They're good. I ordered my stock for Queers and Quills. They're going to be shipped out in a couple days. Yay. Right?
Yay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is too, with those book cover designs, is it matters how long your book is.
Yeah.
Because exactly. The number of pages will determine the thickness of the binding and therefore the thickness of the spine, the width of the spine.
Mm-hmm.
So that all has to be like factored in. So there's a lot there to use a template. It's like,
yeah, we are using a template, man. Like, come on. So it's very, very, unknowns, very specific,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a rough ride, but we finally got there and I ordered some stock. I think I probably have too many books to go into this convention. So please everyone buy some. I don't want to ship all this shit home, but I'm just happy it's done. And then when I get back from the convention, depending on how much stock I have left, I'll order more or whatever, and sell on my website. But yeah, man, what a pain in the ass though.
What a pain. I can only imagine. Yeah. It is only because I accidentally turned it off that you are not hearing in the background right now my 3D printer printing all my shit for my giveaway swag. Because I was like, I'm just going to let it run. I was like, I'm running out of time. It's almost May. Like, I just need to keep printing these things because otherwise it's like a 4-hour print.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finished one today at 1:00, I was like, I would have to lose all of those hours of potential printing. Just because we're recording at 4. And I was like, nope, they're just going to hear it in the background and that's fine. But then I went to turn off the lights in this room via my phone and I accidentally also turned off the printer because I also have that connected to a smart plug.
Damn it.
Just in case I notice that it's like, because I have a camera pointed at it. And so if it gets funky and I check the camera, I can turn it off remotely. And I was like, I accidentally turned off my 3D printer after
all that.
I mean, it's probably like 90% finished, this print. And it's like, I really hope that when I turn it back on, it can seamlessly go back to printing what it was printing before.
Yeah.
It should be able to, but we'll see. But yeah. But like, because Queers and Quills is so close now. And it's like, we really got to start getting these things. Like I did new business cards this week.
Nice.
I'm not really like, I'm making my swag and I might make like a new table banner because it's going to be on a tall table. The narrators are going to be at tall tables. So but like I'm making that stuff myself. I'm not.
Well, you're making your own somewhere. Like table. Is it a table runner or banner?
I'm going to just do a runner. Runner. Just something that hangs over the edge of the table. I just want to know how tall and wide it is. And then I will find a piece of fabric I can hang off the table and use my Cricut to put my little logo on that.
Love.
With some iron on vinyl. I was like, I am not paying for somebody to print a banner for me. I'm just going to do it myself.
That's awesome.
But like, but I have to have the stuff to be able to do that. So I need to figure all that out in the next couple of weeks, because I do want to ship as much of it as possible so that I don't have to pay for extra luggage on the plane.
Yeah. I've got to figure out if I want to try to order more stickers or just bring one I have. And also I'm like, we've talked about swag. I'm of two minds of it completely. I know it brings people to the table, but I also know most of that shit ends up in the garbage. So I don't know if I want to spend the money to print out a bunch of stuff that people are just going to pick up and throw away, or not pick up at all, and then I'm stuck with a bunch of stuff. So I guess I got to make that decision probably this week on what the hell I'm going to do with my swag, but we'll see.
Time is
TBD. Yeah, I have bookmarks at least. I know those are good for conventions with actual physical books, but everything else, I don't know. So
yeah. So you missed the draft in Green Bay last week
for the footballs.
Yeah, for the footballs. The NFL draft was in Green Bay last week. It was wild. It was wild. I mean, it was wild. Our house had traffic.
Oh, God.
Like, I went home on Thursday and, like, had to wait in traffic to get to my driveway. And we live, like, a mile away from Lambeau Field, which is where this was all being held. But, like, there were so many people going to Lambeau Field that, like, all the surrounding streets were just packed with people. So,
yeah,
it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. And for the most part, I just tried to ignore it. John went for the first night and just kind of like experienced the melee.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have liked being around that many people.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing that I noticed is like, I think our like network was not able to handle that many human beings coming to Green Bay. Cause like I experienced serious internet issues at the end of last week.
Man, that's rough.
And it was like, why would this be happening? And it's like, well, we did just basically triple the number of people living in Green Bay for a few days. Because like hundreds of thousands of people came to the Green Bay and greater Green Bay, Fox Cities area. So.
Yeah, that's no, I don't like that. I don't even live there. I'm like, y'all need to calm down. Like, yeah, that's too many damn people.
It seems like it was at best mixed results. Like some people were happy with it, but a lot of people were complaining about like, well, this is why a city of this size shouldn't host the NFL draft. And I agree.
Yeah, please, right? Like Green Bay.
Please don't bring it back because it's too much disruption, too many people. And yeah, we're not equipped for that many.
No.
For that many people here. So.
Hopefully they don't continue that trend. So I don't know anything about how this works. And if you don't either, it's fine. But like, how do they choose where that goes? Like, is it like they have to pay for that? Or is that just something that happens every year?
Well, I mean, the NFL draft happens every year. My understanding is that for a long time, it was always in the same place. I don't know if it was like New York or somewhere else. Oh, yeah, it was actually at Radio City Music Hall for many, many years. I remember that because it was like, that's also where the Tonys were for many, many years. And it was just weird that those two things were in the same venue. But then they started like kind of going out across the nation. And like, so now they like places, I guess, bid to host the NFL draft, just like the Olympics.
Okay.
Or the Super Bowl or other things like that. So, but it's like I said, it's unusual that it would come to a city of our size, because even though we have an NFL franchise, we are the smallest city in the United States that has an NFL franchise. And even though we can handle the influx of visitors for like a regular Packers game, you know, Lambeau Field houses about 70,000 spectators. And there were like 200,000 who came to the NFL draft. So
that's insane.
Yeah. And even though the Packers have bought up a lot of area around the stadium to like create that title town area and like make it very family and visitor friendly, in order to accommodate the draft, they had to build stages outside the stadium in giant tents. And in order to do that, they had to shut down a bunch of streets and put up fences so people couldn't like be pedestrians and walk around the area. But that also means if the whole event is taking place in the parking lot, where do people park?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's disruptive to the people who live there for sure. Like you can't get
to
work.
And so there were people.
Do anything.
Yeah. Like a couple blocks from my house, you started seeing people parking on the road and just walking. So like walking from like a mile and a half to 2 miles away, just Because like they're like, yeah, if you put the event where the parking usually happens, then where are people going to park? Crazy.
That sucks.
It was wild. I tried. John and his friend went, and I took them as close to Lambeau as I could get, and it was like a mile away still because they have so many roads closed down. And I was like, well, I saved you, I guess, a mile of walking, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's so lame.
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully that does not continue. There should be like a, you have to place a bid and also your plan on how you're going to not disrupt everyone's lives by people being there. Right. You know what I mean? Like, what's your contingency plan for the influx of people? Because if it's we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't even mind that much. I mean, if it were something that happened every 20 years, it'd be like, okay. Because I do think it was probably good for the businesses that were around Lambeau Field. I have no idea if it was good overall for like the rest of the city, or if like everybody who lives here just kind of like hunkered down and other businesses suffered because we're like, we don't want to go anywhere. So we'll see. I'm sure all of those reports will come out. But yeah, it was wild. You're glad you missed it. And thankfully, the internet is working well again. So I really do think it was an influx of like 100,000 people coming to Green Bay that was just slowing everything down.
Makes sense. Oof. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it through that. That sounds awful.
Thank you. Thank you. But, well, speaking of a couple of things that were brought up.
Okay.
First of all, so I said I ordered new business cards. And I am starting to embrace just like having fun with business cards. Like, I did not take it too seriously. You'll see them when I get them all.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
Post about them. I mean, it's not too crazy, but it's definitely not formal. I had business cards that I can still use, but they have a QR code on them. But I was like paying for a subscription to this QR code company so that when you scanned the QR code, it brought up my contact and you could save it directly to your phone. And I was like, I don't want to pay that anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't. And also, like, I ordered these really fancy, like, thick cards, which are luxe and beautiful, but like they take up so much space. Like, I can only carry around a few at a time. So I was like, I want standard thickness business cards. I just want them to be normal size. And I'm not going to worry too much about what information goes on them because I, for the most part, think business cards are obsolete at this point, especially for somebody like me. If you know my name and you Google Kurt Graves, even if you spell Kurt wrong, you get to my social media or my website very quickly. Like, I just don't know. I was like, why do we still have business cards? Why are we still passing out physical business cards? I wasn't even going to do it until a couple of friends of mine were like, yeah, we're bringing business cards because some people still like them. And I'm like, oh, fine, I'll bring them. But like, I. So my first question is, yay or nay to business cards?
I mean, I have picked them up from tables before, from like small businesses and stuff, because I know I'll forget the name or it's something I'm interested in. Maybe I'll buy something from their website. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess I do take them and I'll put them on the fridge or keep them for later. So they can be handy, especially if you are at a convention and you're seeing so much stuff. It might be one of those things where they have an interaction with you and they're like, oh my God, who's that guy? I forgot his name. I really want to do business with him, but I remember his face, but his name is out of my brain. So I would say probably worth the investment, but I think it kind of depends. Like, I've also taken pictures of people's business cards instead of picking them up so I don't throw it away.
I was just about to say, like, I'll take a picture of the business card, or even if they just have like their information on a banner or on like a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Or I'll just hand them my phone and be like, type in your email.
Yeah. Or follow them on Instagram or something.
Carry around our address books with us now all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I use photos a lot when I'm at conferences to be like, oh, I do want to remember this person, or like, I want to remember this book cover this is one I want to narrate. So like, I'll reach out to, it's basically so that I have the memory of the book cover and then the author's name. So
yeah,
it's like, and then I can Google them. I'll find them later. It's so easy.
Yeah. Well, and I think maybe some people are awkward about taking pictures too. So for the more introverted people, I think business cards are probably the way to go because they could just snatch it and they don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that is one thing, a paper product that I feel is it needs to go somewhere else. We need to not have this as a normal practice anymore. But another one that I've been wondering a lot about, and it's interesting that you brought up your book covers, is... book covers. So, I mean, we've talked about the ones we love, you know, and like when they're great and they snag our attention, it's awesome. But I have been noticing in our little corner of the publishing world, and even in trad publishing, that the really great covers are starting to become fewer and farther between. And that even the covers that are really well done, they've like followed a formula. And so they're becoming so similar that they're generic. Like they're not memorable anymore because they look like so many other covers. So like if we talk about like MM Romance, like it's the model, it's, you know, the title underneath, like it's three quarters of his torso and his beautiful face. And, you know, the title of the book is usually right around his waistline. And then there's some background that tells us, does this take place in the country or the mountains or a city? You know, and there's usually, and if it's paranormal, there's like some wispy magic going around. And it's just like, that's the look now. Like that's, and like, even when they're very well done, it's like, okay, well, that doesn't stand out to me at all. And then, like, in trad publishing, we've seen, like, the illustrated covers where it's basically, like, two-dimensional figures on a blank, on, or, like, a monochromatic background. And so that's, like, trad romance has been a ton of that. They're indistinguishable at this point because there have been so many different versions of that. Or it's, like, the romanticy, like, Court of Thorns and Roses where it's just, like, a really fancy font and then, like, the vines are going through it and it's, like...
Yeah.
Or it looks like it's carved in stone, but it's all like the same filigree. And it's like, well, that all looks the same now, you know?
Yeah.
So like truly great cover art that's allowed to stand out and be different and be its own thing just seems to have gone by the wayside. And that has me asking the question, like, how necessary are book covers in the age of digital reading? Especially for indie authors, because we've talked about what an expense it is. So what are your thoughts as I'm saying all of that?
So unfortunately, everyone always says don't judge a book by its cover. They absolutely do, right? So when you are scrolling through all the cacophony of books that you could choose from, unless that cover snags your attention for any reason, you're going to fly right past it. So like if you're sick of those illustrated covers, you're going to skip it, even if it's something you're going to love. Just from my time doing this for, math is hard, like 7 years at this point. You know, I did my own thing with my covers and I still love them and I stand by some of the choices I made. But the whole reason I started doing something different is because I was so sick of saying torsos and I figured I may as well just do something completely different and see if I stand out enough. And really when it boils down to it, I went in such a different way that I think a lot of people skipped right past it because they just couldn't clock what it was immediately, or it just was not their style at all. So I can definitely see why people invest to follow the trends of the market. Like, hell, I got invited to an anthology, or not an anthology, a shared universe kind of thing for next year. That's going to be like a cozy fantasy kind of thing. And the person who invited me, very business focused, very business minded. So they were like, if we do a cover, we need to follow the trend of like cozy fantasies. So we need to do like these kind of things to make sure we're in front of the right people. So there's a reason everything is samey, is because if the marketing data shows that people are picking up the half naked dude with the wispy magic around it, that's what people are going to invest their money into because that's what people are snatching up. I hate it, right? Like I will grab a book that I, in a genre that I typically don't care about because the cover is so interesting. Like I picked up a book called What Moves the Dead, and it's a horror novel. I don't typically read those, but the cover was so weird and haunting and interesting that I was like, you know, so I picked it up because it was just something I hadn't seen before. But I think a lot of people, especially in romance, they can kind of get a vibe check really fast when it comes to covers if it matches the criteria of what they read before that they really liked. So if it's a half naked dude with wispy magic, they're like, oh, I know what I'm getting into, so I'm going to pick this up because I love that flavor of romance. But if it's, you know, like with with urban fantasy. It's just got a skull on the front of it. You don't really clock that as a romance, you know, immediately. So you might skip right past it because you think it's something else. So I get it, and I still hate it, even though like logistically it makes sense. I'm like, I want people to do something weird and like off the wall and just make people pick up the book and read it instead of just immediately being like, oh, I know what that is, or, and I want to grab it, or like whatever.
It's like covers have taken the place of blurbs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
I don't care for that. Mm-hmm. Because it is, it's like trying to communicate to them, like, this is the type of book it is, but I'm not going to worry about communicating what the book itself is. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to have any elements of the plot pictured. It doesn't have to be, you know, character accurate, as long as it's a hunky guy, mm-hmm. or, you know, as long as it's, you know, a cute little illustration.
That really gets under my nerves when I pick, like, it's got like a hunky dude on it, and then the main character's like this twink, and I'm like, why is this guy mm-hmm. a fucking chest hair and like an 8-pack if he's supposed to be 100 pounds? Like, what the hell's going on? So yeah.
And then the book of like the year last year was mm-hmm. James by Percival Everett. I mean, it was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. It won a whole, but I think it won the Man Booker. Like it won tons of awards. It was shortlisted for everything. And it's mostly text. It's mostly just the name James. And there's a little illustration in like the bump out of the J.
Yeah. Okay. I got my eyes on it.
But
now
like,
I can see it.
It is such a simple graphic cover. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. It's cool.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. You know? And it doesn't follow any trends. It's just like its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's things like that that make me think, like, would it matter? And I mean, obviously, this would require a sea change. Like, we'd all have to agree that we're going to stop worrying about that. But like, especially again, in the age of digital consumption of books, mm-hmm. if the title was just there, like if it was just text, well done text, properly formatted on like mm-hmm. a monochromatic background, would it be enough to get somebody to then just go read the blurb? You know, like make a decision about the book based on something besides the cover art, and give our cover artists some freedom to try some other things.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. Like, take the time to craft a great blurb so people can read it and get it, clock what the book's about and understand it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so down for us to just, as a genre, as a medium, just to start doing our own thing. So you have to, like, is the cover just interesting? Pick it up, read the blurb. And it doesn't have to just be a carbon copy of the thing that's selling really well right now, because usually the things that are selling really well have so much marketing dollars behind it and stuff. Even if the cover sucks, you see it so much that you're like, oh, now I know text and vines mean this. You know, it doesn't mean it necessarily is a good cover. It just, you just see it so damn much. It's just imprinted on your brain. So yeah, no, I'm for that. I want to change.
And I'm not even saying that like graphic artists wouldn't have other things to do. I'm just saying like, if the cover itself is that necessary when we're scrolling, because like covers used to have shelf appeal. Like, you needed to be able to see mm-hmm. them on a shelf in a bookstore and like physically move towards them. Now we're scrolling.
Yeah.
We're scrolling on our phone and we're scrolling in our feeds. And there's no reason you can't do different kinds. In fact, I've seen authors do it, different kinds of art to attract people to their story. So like, if you're looking for the romance crowd and you want to do an illustrated version of your characters and put that on your Instagram, great. If you're looking to attract, if it's also a romanticy and you want to attract those folks, like do a version where the vines are crawling around, but like, let that be a flexible promotional tool. Like those, like mm-hmm. their images will still be important in selling the book, but not having to commit to one cover when so few, like, I mean, I still love to go to a bookstore when I can.
Yeah.
But
most of it's
even
digital.
Most of my reading is digital. It's either audio or it's on my Kindle. And the covers don't really matter.
No. And especially like, I think since we are in the indie space, I'm more willing to take a risk on the bad covers, like covers that I'm like, you know, they for whatever reason, I don't like them. But I'll read the blurb, and especially if it's somebody who like I follow closely, I'm like, I don't like the cover, but the blurb is solid, and it's got, you know, it comes highly recommended, so I don't care, you know? So, but I think a lot of people just aren't that forgiving. Like they'll clock a bad cover and then just completely log it out of their brain, and they'll never give it a chance, which just sucks, right? Like it's because to your previous point, covers are very expensive. Like it's crazy expensive, as they should be, because you're paying somebody for their time and their talent to craft you something unique and all that good stuff. So I'm not knocking, you know, charge what you need to as an artist. But yeah, sometimes you don't, you know, when I was first starting, I remember asking, I think I was talking to Lucy Lennox about her models on her covers. And Lucy, of course, very successful author, can afford high price tags. She gets like $1,000 models for the covers of her books. Right. I can't even afford that now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just no way. So like those illustrated covers I had to put on a credit card and pay off. Like it was something I couldn't buy outright. I had to like pay it off over time. So yeah, I think we need to be a little more flexible with our tastes and allow us as authors and our partnering illustrators and cover designers to just go wild, go rogue, do something different, and just, you know, like just match the vibe of the book a little bit better, or just, you know, like with the James cover, do something cool and noir and different.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And again, like how you promote your book can go so far beyond the book cover now. And
yeah.
Like I'm also thinking about like Book Talk and Bookstagram, where like a lot of sales happen or like big hits are made because there are people online talking about the book itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. No, yeah.
Like how many times do I see on Book Talk, they don't even have a physical book. They're like, I loved this book. And then like a little picture pops up of the cover.
They
didn't buy a physical book. You know, they're just out there talking about it. And like in those cases, like the title and the author really matter. And wouldn't it actually almost be better if the little graphic that popped up was just a really easy to read title and author?
Yeah. Well, especially if you think about like when you're scrolling
complicated covers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're this big at this point. So they've got to be, you've got to be able to see them on a tiny screen. They're not something that's going to be huge. So it can get really messy and busy.
Yeah. And like, some of the trends that we're doing now, like they don't work for every cover, for every title, but like we try to force them to work, like especially with like the really exaggerated script fonts that often accompany like a chunkier, more masculine font when it's more than a couple words, you know what I'm talking about? You know, as like whatever that script font is, sometimes it's like, oh no, they should not have used a script font for that word. I can't read it. I don't know what that word is.
Yeah. It's like the bear.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, you're what? Just like, and the bear.
I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, okay, if I really squint, maybe I can see it's something. Like, is that a person's name?
Yeah.
Are they talking about another animal? Yeah. Like, And again, I just think like, if we stopped focusing so much on a trendy book cover, we would give artists who want to do this sort of work the opportunity to just try some other things.
Yeah, just do whatever. It's so much more fun to me. Like, obviously, the cover artist who I typically use, Shen, who's been my friend for 20 some odd years, she actually just got commissioned to do a book of poetry from a Japanese author. And he was like, this is like, it's so cool. So he's told her like the general vibe, but basically was like, just do whatever you want. Like, this is kind of the vibe I want for the cover, but I want you to just run with it. And so she was able to just come up with something completely unique, beautiful. It's all like hand drawn, like this kid in a field and you could see the grass rolling. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
But like the more parameters that you put around it, like if you've got a very specific vision, I totally get it. But if you kind of give a soft outline and just let them run with it, I think that's when you'll get your really interesting stuff, because then they can just let their brain go wild with it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I just think there are some good things that could happen if we rethink the samey. Because again, if everything's the same, like then it's not special and you're not. And in fact, sometimes you're misleading the audience, you know? And I will say, like, I know that like one of the things that authors can do is they can buy a package of covers that are made, and the cover artist has never read the content of the book.
Yes.
And that I think is a shame.
It is definitely one of those. I have met people who will buy a cover and then write a story around the cover so it matches. Mm-hmm. My brain does just not work that way. Like I couldn't
make it that rigid. Well, and even that's a step in the right direction. Like I'm going to at least try to write a book that fits this cover. But like sometimes it's like, oh yeah. And again, I mean, I've narrated a few where it's like, this book cover does not match the tone of this book at all. But I'm willing to bet they probably bought a group of covers that appeals to this subset. Honestly, maybe on sale. And like, but like, and that I do think is a disservice to the art of making book covers, of not having the book cover artist read at least some of the material of the book to bring that forward in the book cover. And so if we're not doing that, then yeah, just make the book covers more generic and force the people to focus on the blurb, like to do a little bit more of a deep dive onto what it is they might like about a story that isn't just pecs on a book cover. So
yeah, for sure. We could also maybe have a topic about us, like a new trend within like the kind of samey book covers is that now people just straight up put the tropes at the bottom of the blurb. So you can just skip the blurb completely and just see what the tropes are. And I get it, but I also kind of hate it because then at this point you're not paying attention to what the story is about. You're just being like Grumpy Sunshine. Okay. It's like, no, but like, what's the hero journey? You know what I mean? Like what's the story about? So I don't know. That's a rant for another time. But speaking of samey stuff, we really categorized
ourselves
into buckets. Yeah, I hate that. Yeah. We shouldn't be in little buckets. Like tropes are great, you know. Cover elements that help hint at things are great, but if everything's starting to bleed together, we got to step back. We got to figure out what we're doing wrong. And I think we kind of need to shake loose and start doing our own thing. I mean, this is speaking of just queer romance, like. Or queer fiction in general, why the hell are we copying everyone? Like, why aren't we treading our own path?
Yeah. Yeah. Why aren't we?
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear your thoughts, listeners. Sound off in the comments. Let us know what your thoughts are about book covers. Do you think they're too much of the same thing? Have you seen any really interesting book covers of late? Would you pick up a book if it was just text on a blank background?
Yeah.
If you liked the author or thought the story sounded promising, let us know your thoughts. You can find more of us on our social media. You can also join our Patreon. We are still in our billing pause, so there will not be any charges for folks until the middle of May. FYI, we will be finishing up the reaction to the Animorphs. There is a season 2. We're going to do that somehow remotely. We're going to make it work. So we will be back with that later in May. And then you might also notice I'm not telling you to go visit our website. So don't go visit our website. As our listeners know, we are in the process of like determining what are we going to do moving forward now that everything is remote, now that Maz lives in another state, what is this podcast going to turn into? And in the process of doing that discussion and planning, website domain and hosting came up for another year's subscription. And I was like, I would like to not pay for that, please, just in case we make a big change. So the website, basically, it's down for a little while. Don't worry about it. I don't think many people were visiting it anyways. All the links that were on the website are on our link tree, which is in the link in bio and all of our social media. So still find us on social media. You can still join our Patreon where we're posting. Don't visit the website for right now. If you need to get a hold of us,
just for now.
hoofandfangpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll have more updates about what the future of this collaboration will be. As we figure it out, we'll tell you.
Exactly.
But yeah.
You'll be the first to know.
And the thing is, like, websites are expensive, guys. Like, it's $350 for this website hosting, so a year. So it's like, I was not about to pay $350 and then decide in a couple months we're going to change something big and then not have that website anymore. So,
right.
Yeah. Talk about another thing that might be obsolete. Do we even need a website? Who goes to websites? Do you visit our website? Tell us if you visit our website. We don't really put anything there.
Yeah, you know what? Please do. Did you find us through our website? How did you find us? Like, what's going on?
Right? Like, we each have our own websites. Do we need a website for this? Who knows? We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe, so anyways,
exactly.
Things turn transition, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us. We will be back next week with another episode, and we will talk to you then.
See you then.